Well, Bud, the team is coming out of the tunnel now as we get ready for the kickoff of this game.
Here we go.
And we have to say this starting freshman is a little different looking.
I'd have to agree. The Fighting Irish have never had a player that looks quite like him.
And that's even going back to when Newt Rockne was the coach.
Your eye kind of just goes right to him.
He doesn't even look like a football player.
In fact, the players all seem to be trying to steer clear of him.
Yes, they certainly are.
Almost afraid of him.
Maybe it's because he's from France.
Could be.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame will not be presented at this time, so we may bring you this special podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Remember this song by Elvis?
We caught in a trap.
Suspicious Minds.
I can't walk out.
Did he die? Are you starting this the podcast off because you're going to tell us that he died?
No, he's still around. A lot of people assume that he's passed away, but no. I think I saw him in the Omaha airport about 2 years ago.
He was actually at Denny's the other day here
really?
in Seattle, yeah.
Bet he was knocking back three or four grand slams, too.
He was. Yeah, he's a waiter. No,
the man that wrote this song, named Mark James, was 83. But he wrote this song, Suspicious Minds. He wrote this one. Willie Nelson made a hit.
You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
And B.J. Thomas had a hit with this one.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
I loved B.J. Thomas. Whatever happened to B.J. Thomas? And why?
He shuffled off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, B.J.
Yeah.
I would have changed my initials.
Would you? Why?
Well, I don't know.
What?
I just feel like...
Would B.O. be better?
Yes.
Now they think about it. Yeah. All right, so that fellow passed away. And then another one named James Chance. That's a singer, sax player, composer guy, 71. He melded funk and punk and other junk, and he was the leader of a band called the Contortionists. This is one of their hit songs, I Can't Stand Myself. And he apparently was just a wild man on stage. James Chance. He's gone now. And did you ever hear of this woman named Angela Bofill? I hope
no.
I'm saying her last name correctly.
No, never heard of her.
B-O-F-I-L-L. She was 70, but she had multiple hit singles in the late 70s, and I'll bet you heard this one.
I'll be sweeter.
Oh.
And this one, I Try.
I try to do the best I can for you.
And she had a whole bunch of hits, and then she had a series of strokes.
Oh.
Believe it or not, in the early 2000s, that ended her career effectively.
Oh.
And now she's gone at the age of 70. Angela Bofill.
Wow.
Again, I'm probably slaughtering her name. Donald Sutherland passed
yes.
away, 88
Donald,
years old.
Donald Sutherland, what a fantastic actor.
I've been watching you. And you watching me. I'm afraid we've both been played for fools.
You know, I was doing a little research on him because I knew we were going to talk about him. I completely forgot that he was in the film Animal House from 1978.
Yeah, he was a pot smoking professor.
Yeah, and he would get high with his students, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Mainly because most people think of that as, you know, John Belushi's huge star of that movie. I totally forgot that he was in that.
Okay.
don't write this down, but I find Milton probably as boring as you find Milton. Mrs. Milton found him boring, too. He's a little bit long-winded. He doesn't translate very well into our generation, and his jokes are terrible.
Maybe his big breakout role was in The Dirty Dozen. That was back in 1967.
Which one of you guys wants to be a general?
A general?
Do you want?
Pinkley.
What kind of a general, sir?
Just a plain, ordinary, everyday, home-loving American general.
I'd rather be a civilian, sir.
MASH.
I've seen you somewhere before. I don't know your name, stranger, but your face is familiar.
Ordinary People, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yeah.
Clute. He became very good friends with Jane Fonda when they made Clute together. And, tough. And his son, Kiefer, is the one who announced his passing. Donald Sutherland, 88. But I've saved, at least for me, the biggest for last here, and that is the Say Hey Kid is gone.
Who?
Willie Mays.
Boom! Out towards straight center. Willie Mays catches it. 450 feet. Say hey, Willie, was that a catch?
93.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a long, long life. But there are most people, well, many baseball people, that think that of all of the players who ever graced the field, Willie Mays was the greatest player ever. I mean, he could do everything. He could catch, he could throw, he could run, he could hit home runs, he could hit for average.
It's difficult right now to even try to explain to you how much I love baseball and how much baseball means to me. I think we had what you call a love affair. I think the two together for 22 years have been terrific.
I agree. I think Willie Mays was the best player ever, with the one exception to me of Ken Griffey Jr., who, if he had had fewer injuries and a longer career, I think inarguably be considered the best. He was so gifted. But he became very good friends with Willie Mays in Willie's later years.
Yeah.
So Willie's gone, and that is the last of my childhood that is gone, too.
Oh,
I'm so depressed right now.
Way to bring down the house.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Glad to do it.
Way okay, to crap all over everyone's podcast experience.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. Then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. Who beg her to spare you, Debbie, please. But you can't stop Debbie Downer.
Hey, can I do one little bit of personal indulgence here before we continue?
As usual, yes.
The TV show I was on for much of its 15-year run, Almost Live, believe it or not, began on Seattle television 40 years ago.
Really? It's weird because you're like, what are you, 45 now? Pushing 50?
Yeah, well, I played all the child parts on Almost Live.
Wow.
Let's get little Patty Cashman over here.
Hi, Mr. Keister.
40 years.
Yeah, 40 years ago, 1984.
King 5 Television here in beautiful Seattle, Washington.
And the Museum of History and Industry in Seattle is going to have an Almost Live exhibit for 6 months.
You told me this last week, and I love it. I'm loving that you're talking about it, and I'm just talked over you. So say it again. History of what and the what and when and how long and what's happening?
MOHI, which stands for Museum of History and Industry. I wanted to put a name like resources or research or something at the end of the name, so their name would be MOHair, but they wouldn't go for it. But MOHI.
Isn't arts in there? Museum of History.
I don't know. I don't know what's in it. Anyway, Almost Live certainly wouldn't fall into the arts category, but maybe it would. But anyway, they're going to have an exhibit for 6 months. That's kind of cool. They're going to have some Almost Live people that will kick the thing off sometime in September. I forget when. And there'll be like Q&A and that kind of stuff.
Yay.
And then the Seattle Times is going to do a cover story, I think in August, in the cover of Pacific Northwest Magazine or Pacific Magazine, whatever the name of the magazine is that comes with the Sunday Seattle Times. It'll be the cover story.
That's very cool.
That is nice, because I think, you know, the show has been off the... It finished production in 1999. It did run for 20, 25 years after that in rerun. So I think for some people, it remained a familiar thing on television. But somebody asked me the other day, they said, what are two of your favorite sketches from the show?
And, well, can I interrupt you for just a moment? I'm almost certain one
sure,
of them is
as usual.
Be,
yeah.
I'm certain one of them is going to be whichever one you dragged me into.
Oh, that's right.
The first one you made me do, which I was thrilled to, was a video store one.
Yes.
Remember you were the video store clerk?
Yeah, I'm a video store clerk who thinks that anybody asks for a particular movie, he's got to act it out for them.
Hi,
I'm thinking of renting this Frankenstein movie.
Frankenstein? This is great! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Oh, you're gonna love that. That's a great film. Enjoy it.
And this was your part in that.
Seen this? Weekend at Bernie's?
No, what's that about?
And I kept, every time you say the name, I would slump over and fall onto your shoulders as if dead.
Yeah, it was very
and
funny.
Finally you
okay,
get away.
So what are your two, why, what are your two favorites?
Well, this isn't necessarily my favorite, but I kind of liked it, but I didn't realize at the time, of course, that it would be the very last sketch that I would ever do on that show. And
yeah.
I called it The Phobic Gardener. And this is a little bit of it.
It's time now for The Phobic Gardener, Bernard Toohey.
It's just basically a gardener, like a TV gardener show guy, that's afraid of everything. He's afraid of bugs. He's afraid of everything in the garden, and he keeps running away.
Today we're going to talk about sunflowers, and this one has got an aphid on it! It's got an aphid on it! It's got an aphid on it!
And then at the end of the sketch, he's gone under some counseling now. He's conquered his fears. He's he's a new man. And what he doesn't realize is that there is a spider the size of a Volkswagen coming down on top of him as everybody's yelling for him to. This time it's legitimate. You should get out of there. Yeah.
And now here's the no longer phobic gardener, Bernard Toohey.
I'm back in the garden. Hi, everyone. I'm back. And hello, Mr. Bumblebees. Hello, slugs and snakes and all kinds of things, because I'm not afraid anymore.
Bernard.
I talked to some people, and they showed me that I am bigger, and I am faster, and I am smarter than anything in the garden, and I'm not afraid anymore. So let's get started on talking about it.
Okay, what's the other one? Because I'm going to be really surprised if you don't say what I think you're going to say.
You won't know what you won't guess what I'm going to say, because I bet a lot of people wouldn't think of this sketch if they even remembered it at all. But for me, it's the best and maybe simplest sketch that our show ever did, and makes me laugh so hard every time I watch it. It was you can look it up on YouTube. Go like Almost Live. I Think I Love You. And it was with Bob Nelson and Tracy Conway.
Yeah.
And it basically, I'll play a little of it here in a moment, but basically Bob is confessing his love to Tracy in this brilliantly written dialogue sketch that I always point to, you know, as a simple sketch that can stand with most any scene from a funny movie or a TV show. It's that good. The writing, the performances by Bob and Tracy, spot on perfect. It's hilarious, but also a little bit heartbreaking. If you check it out, you can hear the audience kind of go, "Aw." Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it. I don't remember it, but I'm gonna watch it.
I gotta play. Let me play this thing for him. I'll play most of it right here. It's that good.
Oh, how long have we been going out together now? It's like 3 weeks, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been the most special 3 weeks of my life. It really has. In fact, I think I love you.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm sorry, I said, I think I love you, because I was afraid if I just came out and said it, that, you know, you might not say it back and I'd be embarrassed. But the truth is, I love you.
Thanks.
I love you.
Great.
So do you think that, you know, you might feel the same towards me?
No, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's say you had to guess.
Then I'd guess probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you don't love me. That's fair. But, you do like me, right? You like me?
You know, I really don't know you that well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but, you know, not like necessarily in terms of romantic sense at all. I mean, just like me as a person, you know?
You know, to be honest, I really hadn't thought about it.
Well, if you had to guess.
Then I would guess probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's not my looks, is it? I mean, you do find me attractive, right?
It's hard to say.
And by attractive, I mean, you know, not ugly. Or repulsive, you know. I mean, you certainly don't find me hideous. Do you find me hideous?
Yes.
But, you know, you must be attracted to me in some way, right? I mean, there must be something.
Well, you know, I really hadn't thought about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, otherwise it almost sounds like you hate me.
Well, I couldn't say for sure.
You hate me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hate, you know, that's a subjective term, I guess. I mean, it's not like you want to see me dead or anything.
That is a tough one.
You would want to see me dead?
I don't know. I mean, it's still pretty early in the relationship. You want me to guess?
Okay.
Okay, because if I had to guess, I think I'd like to see you dead.
That's honest.
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest.
Sure.
So, what you're saying is that you don't love me. You don't really even like me, right?
No.
You find me hideous?
Yes.
You probably even hate me. Right? Okay. And be fine with you if I were dead.
You know, now that I think about it. Yeah.
Okay, that's... I just wanted to know where I stood. Or do you still want to go to dinner?
Yes. Oh, boy, I am starved.
Okay, me too.
Let's go.
Okay.
But again, you got to see their faces, too. Bob will break your heart. He's just so good.
Yeah.
And he wrote the bit, of course, too. It's great. So... enough about that. What's going on with you?
Well, no. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say that one of your favorite... I thought you were talking about your favorite, like the sketch, your favorite sketch.
Oh,
like yours.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I thought you were going to say the Roscoe Oriental Rug, or it's not called Oriental. What's it called? Yeah, that's what it was called.
Roscoe's Oriental Rug Emporium.
At Roscoe's Oriental Rug Emporium, we're saying goodbye. We're closing our store forever. And you can save like never before. Roscoe's Oriental Rug Emporium is saying, that's it, it's over, we're done, time's up, farewell, so long, toodaloo, we're out of here. We really mean it. No kidding.
Now let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that's going on here. And I do not mean to disparage Mohai, who's somebody there came up with the idea that we'll do this.
Yeah.
This special thing for Almost Live. I mean, we appreciate that. Yeah. However, I've had discussions with people there that are a little worried about, well, we don't know about Oriental Rug Emporium. We don't,
I know. Did you hear me sort of stop myself, too? Because that's back in the day when that they were called that. Those rug stores were
called
that.
They are still called that, Lisa.
They are?
Yes. And that was my point. I said, well, if I call it something else, nobody will know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I mean, that's what they call themselves to this day. It's in any other context, it's offensive. But
right. That's
what the name of the store was. And it's not referring to ethnicity as much as it is to a style of
exactly.
rug and
exactly. Type
of rug.
Yeah.
So they're worried about that. And then I think one of the best recurring bits on Almost Live through the years was one called The Lame List.
Yeah.
And we had these, you know, local rock guys that would, they'd pose questions would be posed like, here's an example.
And now The Lame List, or What's Weak This Week, brought to you by America's Heavy Metal Community.
Lame!
Librarians who wake you up and make you leave.
Lame!
Totally lame.
Lame.
Excusable.
Lame.
But it's called The Lame List, and so...
Yeah.
Someone said, well, we're afraid that it might offend some of our less abled people.
That are really?
Not understanding the context and the use of that word in that context. So,
it's not meant maliciously or...
No, not at all. It never was. However...
It never was. Exactly.
However, it does beg the question, would you be able to do that same Almost Live today, given all the worries, the sensitivities, the touchiness of people? The world has changed, and you know, some people call this woke behavior or whatever you want to call it. But I can see where some of the things we used to do on the show would not fly anymore.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Or it wouldn't fly for some people. And if that's the case, and you got to be so guarded about everything that you do on a show like that, why do it? You know, it's like a lot of comics now, stand-up comics, they won't work at colleges anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a hostile audience. Somebody's going to be offended or they're going to protest this person's type of humor or whatever it is. It's tough. And we're losing our sense of humor in this country. And there's a lot of reasons for it, including an election that is coming up in November. But it is something to think about. But I still believe you could do a show like that. But you'd have to, you know, back in the day when Almost Live was on the air, 1984 to 1999, really there was no social media to speak of.
No,
no
exactly.
Twitter and all of the ways that people can lie in wait for you. And so,
right. I'm very excited about it. So we'll keep you guys who are listening up to date on when the date is, but it'll be in September. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
You know what I was going to open the podcast with today is I was going to, before you even spoke, I was going to say, hi, how are you?
What?
I was going to, hi, Lisa, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
See, that there are people that say that. You'll meet them. You maybe haven't seen them in a week or years, and they'll go, hi, how are you? There's absolutely nothing behind it. It's a throwaway thing. No real interest in how you are. Hi, how are you? I just say, don't say anything. If that's the best you can come up with, that's the most you can muster, forget it.
What do you prefer? I'm always interested in what ticks you off.
Hi, how are you? How you doing? Oh, God, what's going on with you? How you doing? What's happening?
You
still have
like
that thing on your chin?
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
But no, I know what you mean. But you know what? You stop being so judgy, Mr. Judgy Pants, because maybe that person's having a bad day. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about people who consistently, here it comes. Maybe they're consistently having a bad.
You're taking it personally. Why are you taking it so personally?
Because I'm a person. Hey, I got a question for you. What is with the 9/10 thing on gas prices?
Sorry, sir. What are you talking about?
You know, how much is gas? Regular now. Let's say $3.99 and 9/10.
Never noticed that. How did I not notice that?
What's with 9/10? Just round it off. Don't say $499 and 9/10. Just say it's $5. Come on. It's like the way the pricing has gone. A lot of products are marketed. It's $19.99.
Exactly.
You know,
We've talked about this. There's a whole psychological reason behind that, where your brain.
I know what it is, but
I know you know, but I'm just saying, you get all mad about stuff that you already know the answer to.
No, I don't.
You can't change it. So what's the problem? Just pay the nine tenths.
I want to hear a rationale for it.
Here's what I'd like to do: is just buy 1 gallon of it and see how that rings up.
Have you ever bought just 1 gallon of gas?
Yeah, in my 20s and poor. And
yeah, you could go 30 more miles on a 1 gallon of gas. That made a huge difference when you're a certain age.
Yeah, I've got $2. I'm going to put a gallon of gas.
$1's going into a hamburger, and the other $1's going into my car.
Speaking of money, you and I are in the wrong business, my friend.
Are we in a business?
I don't know. Let me tell you what's happening at my house.
Yes, please do.
I have some beautiful decorative birdhouses.
Well, that's great because I have some beautiful decorative birds. I can send those to you.
I have a birdhouse that your father-in-law made. I have a birdhouse. Didn't he do that for a hobby? He would make all these little birdhouses.
We called him. His name was Bert. Bert Higgins, and
Bert Higgins.
We call them Bert houses.
Yeah, Bert houses. I have a birdhouse hanging from a tree in my backyard that I noticed some activity going on, and I took a closer look at it. You want to know what the hell is in my birdhouse?
Birds?
Nope.
Mice?
Nope.
Squirrels?
Nope. Keep going.
Human head?
Yellow jacket. There's a yellow jacket wasp nest in there.
Is this a yellow jacket season? We have them all over the place.
Yes.
And I've never noticed it before.
Oh my God. And there's they've built this giant nest in there, and I'm afraid they're going to kill the dogs and eat my face off. So I'm like, okay, it's kind of dangerous to try to. I was like, do I just wait at night and try to bag this thing up? Are they going to eat through the and then what do I do once I've bagged it up? What do I do with it then? And what do I do with the ones that aren't in the house and they come and attack me? I'm like, you know what? I can't deal with this. So I called the wasp man, who is coming out today.
Wasp man.
There's a wasp guy?
Wasp man.
Oh, yeah.
Wasp man.
It's big business, let me tell you. He's coming
out
today.
There's mole guys, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's mole guys. That's a whole different issue, though. That is a racket that you'll never win. You'll never win the mole, get rid of the mole thing.
Yeah, somebody once told me moles just move away.
They do.
Yeah. You'll see the mole guy at your neighbor's house next week. You know, they just
and then the
around.
Moles will be in your house, in your yard.
Well, you've chased them back again, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the wasp guy is coming out. I don't know. Wasps, yellow jackets, they're all, you know, combined. They're dangerous. They'll eat your face off. So this guy, listen to me. He's coming out today after the podcast to take care of this. He's going to wear, you know, 5 layers of protective gear and a helmet and, you know, gloves and bubble wrap.
What a wimp. If it was me or Donald Trump, I'd storm right in there with no shirt on and I'd get rid of those yellow jackets.
With no shirt on. Well, we don't want to scare them away. We want to get rid of them. Yes. So I'm thankful because they're all, you know, in a birdhouse on my patio. So I haven't really been able to enjoy my time out back. So he's coming today. Do you want to know how much he's charging me to take the birdhouse?
I don't know. I'm guessing something like $8.
No.
Nine?
No.
Well, we could eat up the whole podcast if I go $1 at a time.
This is very true. So stop making ridiculous guesses. He is charging
$200.
$300, Pat Cashman. And
right. We are in
the wrong business. Are you kidding me? We could buy some, you know, puffy coats and garden gloves and a veil and go do this ourselves.
Yeah, a sting operation. We visited these friends. We have known them for years and years, decades. And I was best man at the guy's wedding and all of this stuff. And these were in the days when we all got married, my group of friends. And none of us had a dime to rub together with anything, you know. So this was a major thing. But we bought this new couple with a bunch of other friends. We got together and we bought them a hutch. Something, you know, you can put dishes in. And it was very nice. We thought it was nice.
That's really nice. That's a huge piece of furniture, like you just said. Yeah, it's not cheap to buy that sort of a thing.
So we visit these people some months ago. And we're walking around the house and stuff like that. And Pat, my wife says, "Hey, where did you guys put the hutch?"
Oh, God. Oh, no.
The wife says, "Oh, we got rid of that crappy old hutch a long time ago."
Oh.
So she didn't remember that we had given it to her, in other words. So in that situation,
yikes.
We just let it go. But what would you do? Would you say, "Well, for your information, maybe you forgot, we bought you that hutch. We gave you that hutch as a wedding gift. You remember the crappy old hutch that you got rid of?"
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, you could maybe say, "Yeah, good. I'm glad you got rid of that crappy old, thing was a piece of crap."
Yeah, when did you get it? Didn't you get it for your wedding or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then but then again,
yeah, you're right.
Do you get anywhere by making them realize their mistake? Because trust me, you've had some gifts that you've received that somebody, probably from me, as a matter of fact, that I thought was probably perfect for you.
Like what?
And you I don't know, but I'm saying my point is you probably looked at it and went, "What a piece of crap. Why did Lisa buy me this?"
No, you always are great. You buy great gifts. I'm the guy who buys crappy gifts. That's why I gave up on gift giving, and I try to make
that's little why they got rid of that crappy hutch.
Homemade cards and yeah, maybe so. Oh, jeez.
That's funny.
Yeah, but sometimes I ask you questions, and I already know the answer to it. I guess I'm like a lawyer. Don't ask anybody on the stand a question you don't already know the answer to.
You're leading the witness. I had a long, long, long time ago, back when I was married, we had a garage sale, and we had received this dumb, really dumb penguin cookie jar. It was just stupid. It was just dumb. It was a penguin cookie jar. Stupid.
Man, I'd give anything for one of those. Like, hang on a second. I'm getting on eBay here. Well, I don't know if this is the one you had, but this one is going for $3,500. With cookies.
Dang it. Yeah. I know. So we're like, "Well, let's put this stupid thing out. We hate it. We don't use it. It's dumb. Why did they give us this stupid thing?" Wouldn't you know, they showed up at the garage sale.
Oh, no.
Gave us the stupid penguin cookie jar.
No.
And we never really we weren't expecting to see them. They weren't friends that we would see regularly. I'm not even sure why they showed up. But I just remember trying to put my body between them and the penguin cookie jar so that they wouldn't spot it. To this day, I don't know if that worked or not, but it was extraordinarily uncomfortable because how am I going to explain that? Yeah. Like if they went, "Hey, that's the stupid penguin cookie jar we got you. Why are you selling it?"
Oh, because we got two of them. We have yours, but we got a second one. So we want to share the beauty with someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, you kept ours, did you?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we have it downtown in a bank in a safe deposit box.
I don't go for fancy cars.
No.
For diamond rings or movie stars.
No.
I go for penguins. Oh, Lord, I go for penguins. To my knees.
Do you ever pull stuff out that you know someone's going to ask about it if they come visit? Like, when I come visit you, do you pull all the stupid shit that I gave you out and put it on display?
Well, sometimes we'll even go further than that, just as a joke. We'll put, like, if some guy that's coming, I'll print up a picture of them, put it in a frame, and then, like, put little votive candles around it, like it's a little shrine. to that
That's
person.
That's the best. I'm going to start doing that.
Well, I think it diffuses everything after that. And then
That's
if
hilarious.
Anything embarrassing does happen, you've maybe already got it covered. I don't know.
That is a very funny idea.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you think so. Hey, I want to plug another podcast.
Oh.
While I'm thinking of it, it's terrific. There is a movie network that I like a lot called Turner Classic Movies.
Yes, I love it. TCM.
Mostly a lot of old films, mostly that, in fact. Good films, bad films, shorts, cartoons, everything. They have so much stuff on there.
This is a cable channel.
Yeah, Ted TCM. Turner started it years ago.
Oh, that's right.
Turner Classic Movies. And as part of it, there's one of the hosts is named Ben Mankiewicz. And he's been doing a series of podcasts over the last couple of years. They did one on Lucille Ball. They did one on Pam Grier. You know, Pam Grier, the
she was
terrific actress in blaxploitation films and the like. Yeah. And Jackie Brown.
Where are you going?
Spain.
Madrid or Barcelona?
Madrid first. Have you been there?
I hear they don't eat dinner until midnight.
You want to go?
Thanks, but you have a good time.
You sure I can't twist your arm?
Thanks for saying that.
Remember the book, Bonfire of the Vanities, the Tom book? Well, they tried to make it into a movie, and it was a catastrophe.
It was awful. Melanie Griffith was in it. Yeah. Tom Hanks was in it.
Tom Hanks, terribly miscast, of course.
Oh,
but the whole story of how it came to be and all the things that went wrong with it, they did a whole podcast about that. That's really fun to listen to. And anyway, so the new one now is about the director, John Ford, and they argue in this podcast that he's the greatest United States film director we've ever produced. It's a fascinating piece.
He was one of our giants in this business. There was nobody could touch him.
People just didn't exactly know what was going to happen next, and that's exactly the way he wanted it.
All the stories that you've ever heard about him are true.
He rose out of his chair and
I was surprised the way that John Ford treated John Wayne all day long. And he'd say, "Oh, for God's sakes, Duke, when are you going to learn how to act?"
But he's early in his directing career, and he wants to make big pictures that people are going to go, "Oh, my gosh, how did they do that? I can't believe it." So he's doing this Western called Three Bad Men. It's a silent film. It's that old. The podcast, by the way, is called The Plot Thickens.
Okay.
And so this is the latest version of it about John Ford. So in a scene from Three Bad Men, Ford stages this, it's like the Oklahoma race. Everybody's in covered wagons because they're rushing to get land that they can stake a claim to as their own property. So it's this wild scene with, it looks to be hundreds of covered wagons and horses. They're all running across this big plane, and it's just spectacular and silent film. Well, there was a woman on the crew that had a baby that she had brought to the shoot.
She had a baby she bought? What?
Well, she might have bought him. I don't know. But so Ford gets the idea, I'm going to put this baby in a shot here. They set the baby down on the ground, and in the background, you can see these wagons coming towards the baby. It's just sitting on the ground. And it wasn't a special effect. They didn't have that capability. And then at the last moment, just before the horses thunder over, the baby is snatched away at the last moment. Yeah, and I got on YouTube. You can find it there.
I don't want to see it.
Three Bad Men. You can't believe. Ford later claimed, well, the mother had no idea that we did this. She was nowhere around. She was absolutely clueless. And this isn't exactly comparable, but it reminds me of when I was doing that show Almost Live. I did this bit, which recurred several times, but it had to do with a slug, the idea of having a slug for a pet, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And in the very first version of this sluggy, I hired this little kid out of an actor's menu. You know, I called up an agency and they said, oh, you know, who'd be great for this? It's this little kid. I can't remember his name now. And I said, oh, yeah, he looks perfect. If he can talk, he's just what we need. He was a little kid. He had round glasses on, red-haired, vaguely reminiscent of the kid on A Christmas Story. You know, he had that kind of look. I thought, this is perfect. So the premise of the bit is that the kid's poor. They don't have any money for a dog or a cat. And then he finds a slug out in the yard, asks if he can keep it. You know, there's slime jokes in it.
Sluggy!
This is a story for the entire family. The story of Sluggy.
So we take the kid. So the mother shows up in the lobby of King TV. We're about to go out on the shoot. And I said, and she said, I'll just follow you guys or I'll ride with you and on the shoot. And I go, you know what? We don't have room in the van. We'll just have room enough. Let's call the kid Timmy. We just got enough room for Timmy.
Well, then I'll just follow you in my car.
Well, we're going to be all over the place. I'd be better if you didn't come because it just complicates. I can't remember what lame excuse I used. But I did not want her to come with us because I didn't want her to know what we were going to do to her kid.
Wait, what were you going to do to his kid, the kid?
Well, we were going to push him down a hill, way down a hill, and he's going to get grass stains, and he's going to get filthy in this shoot. And not in huge danger like the baby in the stagecoach scene, but he's going to get a little bit messed up. And we didn't want his mom to say, you can't push Timmy down that hill. He'll get hurt. I never intended to get him hurt, but I wanted him to put out a little more than he would if mom was monitoring it. So.
Oh.
Rabies, get my gun, boy!
No!
I always thought later what they thought when they finally saw the finished product.
Yeah, he pushed me down a hill, Mom. And then they put this slime all over my face, too, and made me lick some of it off. It was awful.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, he needs a new agent if they're allowing you
to push him down the hill. Well, you shouldn't. The agent should ask now, who's the director? Oh, Cashman? Hell no. No, he can't go. He can't go.
Exactly.
Well, believe it or not, Lisa, I think we have come to the...
Yes,
One quick old saw for you and me, but I'm a voice in the wilderness, but I'm gonna keep trying to bludgeon people into doing the right thing here. And so here's a commercial I just taped. It's not well recorded, but you get the idea.
Are you mad at another commercial, Pat? Yeah.
Well, it's not the commercial I'm mad at. The commercial's fine. It's for Cottery diapers. They're disposable diapers.
Oh God.
Okay. And here's the end of the commercial.
We switched to Cottery, and he started sleeping 11 hours through the night. When we made the switch, our baby started sleeping better through the night, and we had way less diaper changes.
Now, my problem here
I know what
isn't about the
is.
Diaper.
I know.
It's about the misuse of the word less.
Yes.
Where she says way less diaper changes. She, of course, should say way fewer diaper changes.
Yes. Yes.
Because we're talking about a number.
A number. Exactly. Yeah. Fewer is a number, less is an amount, a measurable amount. You know,
we're losing this war, Lisa. Everybody says less instead of fewer. There are less fans here in the Mariners Stadium tonight than there were last night.
We have less chances of making an impact on people to stop using it that way.
I have nowhere further to go with that except that it continues to annoy me. Or is it farther?
Yeah.
And I always ask myself, why? What do you care?
Exactly.
You know
I don't
what
know
they
why
mean.
It bugs me. It bugs me too. Bugs the hell out of me. And when it really bugs me is when it comes out of the mouths of people who should know better, which are people who are on the air, people who are educated, who they should know better. So to me, that's just lazy. Just lazy. Stop being so lazy. Okay, we do need to wrap up though, because I've got to go scrape up $300 for this wasp guy who's on his way. Actually, can I tell you one quick thing?
He should show up wearing a mask because he's robbing you.
He said if he can keep the birdhouse, he'll knock $50 off. So I'm technically only going to pay him $250. It's just highway robbery. But it'll be done.
It's funny that you're talking about that and the amount of money you're going to have to pay, because that leads right in to my joke.
Fabulous.
A prominent biogeneticist is conducting advanced research on the similarities between primates and humans. So after 10 years of preparation, he is now ready for his most daring experiment to date. The mating of a human with a gorilla.
Oh, for God's sake. That sounds like a bad porn movie already.
Sounds like a good porn movie to me. Okay, so having spent...
Yes, keep going, please.
Okay. Having spent years searching for the proper gorilla, he finally selects a supple simian from the San Diego Zoo. Have you ever been there?
Okay, hold on.
San Diego
You're
Zoo.
Going too fast for me. So a supple, like a girl gorilla?
I'm just trying. No, he's just... Looks
but
like
is it a boy gorilla or a girl gorilla?
You'll
just
find
don't
out.
Be,
you'll
don't
find
get, out. Oh, okay. Okay. I've not been to the San Diego Zoo.
Okay. Well, they've
but
got
they
supple,
have supple
simians,
simians
there.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Got
like
it.
Gorillas. So he's got that. He found the gorilla. Now he's got to find the right human.
Got
and that
it.
Is going to be tougher. So first he puts together an extensive and detailed 40-page questionnaire. And he places a classified ad in the New York Review of Books. And the ad says, wanted, single white male between 25 and 27 years of age with a master's degree, non-smoker, who loves Mozart, animals, and long walks on the beach to impregnate a female gorilla. Stipend,
$300.
$300. $300.
Okay.
All right.
So, looking for a guy, human guy, to get it on with the girl gorilla.
Female gorilla.
$300. There's a lot of guys that would do it for free, but okay.
Well, you're right about that because the researcher got over 200 letters back.
Wow.
And he promptly sent a copy of the questionnaire to each of those respondents. 90% of the questionnaires were returned, but only one applicant fulfilled all the requirements.
Oh.
So they arranged an interview. Him and the applicant arrive to meet the researcher. They talk for 3 hours, Lisa. And the researcher finally says, I'm thrilled to have found you. You're exactly the man I've been looking for. Are you free to begin on Monday?
I don't know why this is making me uncomfortable, but okay, keep going.
The young man says, he says, just a minute here. You've asked me a lot of questions, but before we go any further, I got a few requirements of my own.
All right, what are they?
Well, first, there's not going to be any kissing on the lips, okay?
Okay.
Second, any offspring from this union has to be raised in my own faith.
Oh, my God.
All right. And what's the third thing?
Okay, and finally, could you give me a couple of weeks to scrape up that $300?
Stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. The good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on.
Bang.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.